And so with that, I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about the book of Judges. The book of Judges, and as I mentioned, as I've been reading that book a few times over the last few months, I was looking at, well, what verses could possibly summarize this particular book? And a few verses jumped to mind. For example, the very first verse of the book of Judges that says, "Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass." So the whole book is about what happened after Joshua. That could summarize the book. Or perhaps verse 10 of the second chapter that says, "When all that generation had been gathered to the fathers," meaning the generation of the Joshua and his equivalents, "when they all have died," it says, "another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel." Perhaps that could summarize the book. Or maybe the very next verse that says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." And that verse could also summarize the book of Judges, because that verse, almost verbatim, is repeated at least six times in this book. You can also find it in 3:7, 3:12, 6:1, chapter 10, verse 6, and 13:1. It repeats, and the writer tells us the same thing over and over again, that then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. That could also summarize the book of Judges. Or perhaps the 16th verse of the book of Judges in chapter 2, where it says, Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. So in spite of the Israelites walking away from the Lord, he delivered and he raised up judges that delivered them. Or maybe even the next verse, which also says the following, "Yet they would not listen to the judges, but they played the harlot with other gods." Perhaps that verse. And like I said, lastly, the very last verse of the book is probably what we're all familiar with and we all know and gets quoted the most when we think of the book of Judges, which is chapter 21, verse 25, where it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And I do agree. I think that verse summarizes the book of Judges. And when you read this book, when you read chapter after chapter, you see this incredible cycle unfold over and over and over again, but with different people and to varying degrees. What cycle might that be? Well, that's the cycle where first the people rebel against God. People disobey God. Then God gets angry and frustrated with them and then gives them up into the hands of the enemies. Oppression happens. His people suffer. Then next, what happens? They repent. They cry out to God. What happens next? God sends salvation through a judge. Judge rescues them. And then there's peace in the next step, and they leave peacefully thereafter, but not completely thereafter. When the judge dies, the cycle starts and repeats over and over again. And so that's the book of Judges in summary. That cycle repeats over and over again. And you might think back to your Sunday school and actually remember a number of protagonists and antagonists of that book. For example, people like Gideon, Samson, Othniel, Barak, and Deborah are all mentioned in this book. People that stood up for the word of the Lord, but themselves were not perfect in many instances. And so as I was reading commentaries for this book, Tim Keller, who's one of the pastors on the East Coast, had this to say. He said, "Whatever controls us is really our God. The person who seeks power is controlled by power, and the person who seeks acceptance is controlled by those who he is seeking to please." And so we, brothers and sisters, are controlled also by the Lord in our lives, whatever those lords are. Every single person in this world is controlled by their lord. And in many instances, the lords of the people out there are the lords of pleasure, are the lords of success, are the lords of all these other things, the lords of food, whatever prevails, whatever desires are prevalent out there. So we, right now, we live, as you know, and work among a great variety of gods. And our era could also be characterized as an era where there's multiple gods, though people hate to admit it out there. And as I mentioned, people are serving themselves, they're serving their pleasures, and those are their own gods. And analogous to the book of Judges, when we look out there, and even to some extent when we look at the church, we could also, looking at our world right now, summarize how people are acting by saying the phrase that is found at the very end of the book of Judges, which is, everyone is doing what seems right in his own eyes. Or if I was to quote it verbatim, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so, despite the gap of 3,000 or more years that has occurred between the book of Judges that was written and where we live now, there are tons of similarities of how we live and how the people live out there and how we are behaving that I want us to look at over the next few Sundays or so. What are these similarities? The similarity is that the people overall, as they were back then, so are we are right now. We are involved in the spiritual battle. Every day we have a choice to either follow the Lord in His Word or follow our own desires. And what we see in the book of Judges is the cycle that over and over again, people didn't follow the Lord, but followed their own desires. And in spite of that, and in spite of their disobedience, in spite of their bad choices, God came in over the top and still saved them. Isn't that amazing? When you read the story of Judges again, over and over again, another author said, or another commentator said, that the book of Judges could be described as a despicable people doing despicable things, and as trashy tales about dysfunctional characters. And if those words maybe are rattling you a little bit, then I would encourage you to read the book of Judges one more time, because that's a fair characterization of what is written in the book of Judges. And so then the question might come into our own minds, well, if it is stories of despicable people doing despicable tales, why is it in the Bible? Why is it in the scriptures? Why are we reading about despicable people and despicable tales? And the reason is because the Bible is not a book of virtues. It's not a book of this is how to make your life better by following these great and grand examples of perfect people. It's quite the opposite. It's the book of people who are disobeying God, and it's a book of grace. It is a book where God demonstrates His own grace, where God shows His mercy and grace in saving those that are disobedient to Him. And we see just that. We see precisely that in the book of Judges. Tim Keller also summarized the book by saying that it is about God of mercy and long suffering, who continually works in and through us despite our constant resistance to His purpose. Despite our constant resistance to His purpose. And if you stop and think about it and even reflect on your own life, you should see how those statements ought to be true and in your life as well. And you will see that certainly they are true in the lives of the heroes of the book of Judges. Despite their resistance of the Jews and the nation of Israel to God's word, He brought them forward. He still saved them, and He showed grace to them. So today, quickly, I just wanted to highlight the seven themes that we see, that I see in this book of Judges, before we actually go and look at it step by step or story by story. So what are the seven themes that I see? Well, first and foremost, depravity. If anyone thinks that human beings are good, if you think that human beings are super nice and good, please read the history of the world in general, but in particular, read the book of Judges. And that is biblical account and support of the human depravity. After God saves them time and again, over and over again, as you will see with Joshua, with Gideon, with other people, there's just constant revolt, constantly the bad desires that are hidden in the human hearts come to the surface. So the first big theme is depravity. Second is God relentlessly is offering his grace to those that don't deserve it or seek it or even appreciate it. That is the second big theme in the book of Judges. And again, we'll see that those that aren't even seeking it or appreciating it get God's grace. And as you think about it, your own lives perhaps, isn't that also so true for you? How many times has it happened to us that perhaps we weren't even seeking or appreciating something and God sent such wonderful grace and love and mercy to us? So that's the second theme. Third would be God wants lordship over every area of our life, not just some areas. And you'll see in the book of Judges that the commandment was for the Israelites to control the entire land of Canaan and to eliminate all of the people who were previously there. But they didn't do so. They were living there. They were basically serving half and half, half God and then half the customs that were there at that time. So in other words, they neither wholly rejected God or embraced God, neither did they wholly reject or accept the people who were living there. So it's an example to us that it's impossible and unstable to serve both the world and God. That's the third. The fourth theme is there is a tension between grace and law in the book of Judges. There's many promises that God says, if you do this, I will do this for you. Yet at the same time, he also gives unconditional promises. And so in that fourth theme of a healthy tension only gets resolved in the New Testament through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Fifth theme is there is a need for a continual spiritual renewal in our lives. Now, where does that come from? As we read the book of Judges, we see again over and over that his people, the nation of Israel, fall. When you look at your life, when I look at my life, you also will note that we also do sin on a daily basis. And so the fifth theme is that there is a need for continual spiritual rebirth, spiritual renewal that also occurs in the book of Judges. And some of the renewal elements are repentance. It is also prayer. It is the destruction of idols. Destruction of idols in the lives of those that lived 3,000-4,000 years ago in the book of Judges, and it is the destruction of idols in our own lives that we might have. Because renewal happens when we are under the right master. And slavery occurs when we are under the wrong master in our lives. The sixth theme is that we all need a true Savior. When you read the book of Judges again, you will see that the judges they have that saved the nation of Israel from Canaanites and from all the different tribes of people, Philistines that attacked them, are leaders, yet they themselves are imperfect. And as the course of the book progresses, you see that the leaders themselves and the spiritual state of the leaders deteriorates more and more. For example, when you think of Othniel or Deborah in the beginning of the book, they are holy people, but when you get to the end of the book and you think of Samson and some of the challenges that he struggled with, you see the deterioration. So the judges themselves point us not just to a person or to a human savior, to a human judge, but they point us somewhere else. We learn from Othniel, for example, that God can save through all, through Deborah that he can save through many, through Gideon that he can save through few, from Samson that he can save through one person, but all of these judges point us to one and true Savior and Judge, which is Jesus Christ and which is our Lord and Savior. And seventh, finally, what is the seventh theme of the book is God is in charge no matter what it looks like. When we read the book of Judges again, the most pervasive theme, this theme that God is in charge, could actually be lost when we look at all the detail and all of the drama that happens from story to story. But the most important theme that we will see in that book and that we also should note and transpose onto our lives as well is that God is in charge no matter what. And he brings people out of every single situation and conundrum that we find in the book of Judges. And if we trust them, he will also do the same for us. He controls the world 4,000 years ago, and he does the same thing for us today if we see that. And so I hope as we think and as we go through the book of Judges, these seven themes that we just ran through, we can keep in the back of our mind and we can reflect and see how the things that apply to the people that lived 3,000-4,000 years ago that faced some of the same issues that we face now, which is pluralism of gods, which is having a daily choice whether to serve the Lord or themselves or their desires, is just as relevant for us as it was from them, and that so that we could learn from all of these examples and apply them in our lives. Amen.